jacking up my fear factor that I opened up the program. I got reminded about that on social media by a number of you, and I appreciate that. In the Mets last night, 3 errors, losing to the Marlins. Alonso at first base, but tonight, Jonah Tong, number 21, as Hoff mentioned yesterday, will toe the rubber as looking to bounce back with a victory tonight. Mike in Waterbury, Connecticut, is up next to the fan. What's going on, Mike?
Hey, how we doing today?
Mike, how you doing, buddy?
Good. So, a longtime Jets fan since 1967, been up and down. And, yeah, I know, still alive. But, you know, here's the as we approach the season, both the Jets and Giants, the expectations are low. And one of the things that I think is going to actually happen this week, I think both teams may win their opening games. And then now what? Do we all go crazy? You know, one of these predictions, playoff bound. I mean, both these teams are pretty limited. I mean, where do we go if we actually win these first games? And what do you think?
Yeah, I would not overreact. I mean, to one victory. I think if you want to talk about your team, when you look at the Jets, I think the expectation this year is building the foundation for future success.
Yeah.
Like, I don't look at the Jets all of a sudden finding it. Unless Justin Fields completely, utterly stuns me and finds a different level at the quarterback position than really we've ever seen before. He's not been a winning quarterback. Doesn't throw it consistently enough. Not accurate enough, right? When you're talking about trying to limit his throws. Well, you know, the Jets used to limit the throws of Mark Sanchez, right? Where they were more successful when he threw 24 or less attempts per game. But they also had a very, very good defense, right? That is in a very good ground game. Like, I think the offensive line is going to be good. We'll see what the rushing attack is like, and we'll see exactly what the defense is like. I think for Aaron Glenn here, it's about setting a tone and a temperament year one of what it's going to be like, and you got to give him time, and you can't be impatient. I know that's difficult to say if you're a Jet fan because, you know, it's been a long time since you've made the playoffs. You know, you've got that run, you suffered the embarrassment, all the leaks, all the stories coming out of The Athletic with Rosenblatt and Rossini a year ago, and, you know, the Rodgers error, what it proved out to be for 2 years, 1 year lost to injury, last year was banged up, but, you know, it still became about him and that too much power in the building. You know, Glenn has come into the building and tried to fumigate it, right? Just as you try to get rid of, you know, the cockroaches and everything like that, whatever it might be, the ants, the carpenter ants. Maybe you've got a, you know, mouse problem, field mice. They have issues during the course of the winter. They want to be warm, but you want to get rid of them. Whatever it might be. That is what Aaron Glenn is trying to do down in Florham Park and set a tone and temperament for what this organization is going to be about, all about in the future. So this is a building block phase season for the New York Jets.
Yeah, I mean, I think we heard where the concern is, we heard the same thing when Saleh came in. You know, tough guy, San Francisco, and, you know, they were going to clean house, they were going to do this the right way. I do feel confident, though, because I was a big Bill Parcells fan, and Aaron Glenn, I think he's bringing that type of attitude, and I think he's going to be given a pretty good leash to develop things the way he wants. The expectations are low. They don't have a lot of money on a quarterback, so if he can build that foundation, I think a lot of fans may get behind it. You know, unfortunately, I'm like with a Joe Beningo, you know, oh, the pain, you know, how are we going to lose this week? But, you know, we'll see.
Well, Mike,
it's just fun.
You want to know you hope that it looks like this year? The Jets play clean football. They're not penalty laden. Yeah. They don't beat themselves. They're smartly coached. They put together a game plan based on the opponent that they're going up against. And that they're prepared week in and week out. Yeah, Saleh was a great spokesman, right? Saleh, all gas, no brakes, you know, gave you a great quote, some of the stuff that he had to say, iron sharpens iron, everything that we've heard from Robert Saleh over the years when he was the head coach of the New York Jets. In the end, he couldn't coach. You know, and that's ultimately what you're judged on. And then he lost control of the building, you know, when they brought Rodgers aboard. And Woody getting involved, and then his sons, and everything that comes along with it. Like, that does not lead to success. That leads to anarchy. I mean, that leads to dumpster fire, disaster. And that's exactly what we saw with the New York Jets. And that's where Glenn is now needs to be given the freedom and the roadway to be able to run this organization as he sees fit, because it is his franchise. It's not Darren Mooji's. It is Aaron Glenn's franchise. It has nothing to do with the general manager. The general manager was hired after Aaron Glenn was hired because of their relationship over the years in the National Football League, and Glenn felt like they could work together. This is his vision for what Jet football is going to be all about. Make no bones. And, yeah, he's a little bit of a, you know, old-school football coach, best way to put it. Got a little bit of an edge to him. You know, likes to banter back and forth with the media. Love that aspect of it. Do I think the Jets will be impeccably better coached this year? I do. But I think it's difficult to win with the quarterback that's going to be the starter for the New York Jets. Let's head out to Walcott, Connecticut. Walcott, Connecticut. It's Mickey. It's the fan. What's going on, Mickey?
Hey, Moose. Good morning, brother. It's so good to hear you, man. Long time no speak, man. I miss the days when you and Maggie were on the show, man. And I'm not saying everybody else ain't great. They all are. But you guys was a dynamic duo, man. You guys are amazing.
Thank you, Mickey.
But it's
good
to catch up with you. So I did originally call about the Mets, but if you need me to make a football point, I can make that too. It's up to you.
No, whatever's on your mind. What are you most passionate about this morning, Mickey?
Well, I would say the Mets. You know, they lost last night, and obviously that sucks. There's no sugarcoating it, right? Especially when you come off a sweep of the Phillies. But I think for me, the reason why I wanted to call in was because something that has been kind of ticking me off, you know, grinding my gears, is I'm hearing a bunch of different sports personalities and talk shows and podcasts, and they're all talking about, you know, the Mets have no identity. The Mets have no identity. And I want to say I disagree with everybody. I think the Mets have a clear identity this year, and their identity is unpredictable and inconsistent. And I think we need to just start wrapping our head around that and just enjoy the moment, you know. It's going to be hard because obviously the playoffs is right around the corner, and we have Jonathan coming up today, which is amazing. And you just got to ride the waves of the baseball season. And we just got to be honest with ourselves.
Well, I love the Mets. Well, Mickey, I don't mean to interrupt you, Mickey. I'll let you continue here in a minute. But I don't know. I think both things can be true, right? I think you could look at it and say, well, what exactly – When people talk about, I don't know who you're referencing, what shows you're, you know, what podcast or whatever it might be, but if people talk about what's the identity, right? I came into the season thinking the Mets were going to be defined by their lineup. Really has not consistently been the case, right?
Agreed.
I thought with the addition of Soto to go along with Lindor, Alonso being brought back, Francisco Lindor, Nimmo, throwing Vientos based on what he did last year. He's gotten hot in the last 10, 11 games. That's good. Starting to resemble the hitter that he was a year ago. I thought it was going to be the lineup that was kind of going to be what defined it, right? Didn't think it was going to be the strength of the starting rotation. Had questions, concerns about that. Thought the lineup, because of their penchant for the big moment, big hit a year ago, was going to be what defined him. It really has not been the case. So you could look at it and say, well, what exactly is the strength of this team? Are you going to say, because of Nolan McClain, the strength is the starting staff? Can't really say that. Are you going to say that, well, the strength is the back end of the bullpen? Well, they've got Edwin Diaz. Helsley hasn't worked out. Tyler Rogers has. Soto was a disaster last night. You know, back end of the bullpen, you've got concerns. All right, well, then you go back to the lineup. But that hasn't been consistent enough. So you could be true, those people that are saying they don't really have an identity. Well, that could be true, but you can also be true saying, well, the team is largely inconsistent. And we talked about it yesterday. Yeah, it's been a long summer, if you're a Met fan, of high expectations coming into the year, and really for the better part of the last 2 months, playing underwhelming baseball.
Yeah, and I'll finish with this in terms of the Mets point. I think what's going to ultimately define what they are and their title of this year and how we're going to look at them is if they show up in October. That's what it really is going to come down to. And I'll make a real quick football point. When it comes to the trade that you were talking about this morning in your monologue, it blows my mind that trade even happened. But I got to remind myself that the Cowboys had an owner that I would consider him the James Dolan of football. It's an owner that doesn't know how to get out of his own way sometimes. And this was an ego move more than anything. And sometimes you just need to sit down, hire the right people, and trust your people.
Yeah, Mickey, I get it, but that's not, you know, you're worth billions upon billions of dollars. You're the owner of the Dallas Cowboys. I mean, Jerry Jones at times has been his own worst enemy. Was with Jimmy Johnson, Parcells, obviously, that relationship frayed at the end. Can't get out of his own way. And I don't know exactly what changed. I'm sure there'll be more reporting on it. You listen to Jerry and Steven last night, it seemed like they felt like they had the structure financially of a deal worked out when they had conversations with Micah Parsons, and then his agent wanted to start there at their final number and negotiate upward from that point. I mean, I don't know. All I do know is this. You wake up on this Friday after that deal yesterday, NFC East. The Dallas Cowboys are a significantly weaker team, and the Green Bay Packers are that much stronger. And we don't care necessarily about the NFC North here in New York. You care about the East, and that's where the Giants lie. And you know what? The New York Giants yesterday had themselves a good Thursday and didn't play a game. Didn't have a preseason game. There was nothing to do with, Jackson Dart. Had everything to do with a unforced error by one of their rivals in their own division.